Let's have the Mother's Day part first. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, now let's have the message. They're two different things. So I get nervous when she says, let's have a Mother's Day message, because I'm not going to talk about Mother's Day. Okay, I want to say Happy Mother's Day. Okay, we all have a mother. We're all here because we have a mother. We should thank our mother. The scripture says, okay, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the only, if I can remember correctly, Lord, please don't strike me dead. It's the only contractual commandment that God gave us in the Ten Commandments. He says, if you will honor your father and mother, you will live long on the earth. And so I would encourage you to kind of be aware of that, even if it's a little bit difficult. But let me get into this now. Okay, Happy Mother's Day. Okay, now we're back to recognizing the voice of God. That's where I want to be today. Last week we talked about the idea, does God still speak to people? Listen to me. Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. He will speak to you if you actually want to listen. If you actually want to be aware of what he's saying, and I also believe to the level that you want to be obedient. I believe that God will only involve himself in your life to the level that you want to be obedient. Remember, Jesus went around saying, follow me, right? Not, hey, where do you want to go? So that's where we are, and that's what we're looking at today. I know when I walk in the house and I hear my wife's voice, I know it's her voice. I know my wife's voice. I know it. When I walk in the house and she says, hey, and I'm like, I'm home. And then she says something like, now, believe it or not, I still recognize that. I'm like, that's her. Yeah, she's in the back room. And we're both at the place where we're old enough to where it's like, if we're not in the same room, okay, if we can't see each other's mouth move, then we're going to have to say, what? 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 Okay, also if you have more than three kids, you'll do that a lot, okay? But still, I know my wife's voice. And I wanna go down through this thing and just talk about your ability to recognize the voice of God in your life. And I want to deal with that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, just 1 through 4, I love the way Paul opens this up. I happen to be a believer of the Pauline authorship of this, so I just want to go on record as saying. But it says, in the past times God spoke. There it is. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, capital S, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. If you're reading Genesis chapter 1, you know that it was Jesus Christ that the scripture says right here, through whom he made the universe. If you're reading John 1, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made, it says. The word of God says that. Jesus was there in that moment. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And look at this. And the exact representation of his being, and he is sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, so he became as much superior to the angels as his name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And so we recognize that God speaks to us. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke to us through the prophets. We lay that all out. Okay? That's what the scripture tells us. The question is God going to speak to me? And the real defining question is going to be, will God speak to me today? Will God speak to me today? And listen to me, I believe the answer is yes. But I do believe that in the world, and not just in our community or in our church, I do believe that we are living in a time where we're kind of apathetic about whether or not God will actually follow through. And that creates a bit of disbelief. But I want to do this because I remember when I was newly saved, 1977. Some of you don't even know when that date was. Okay, you're like, was that World War II? No, it was not. Okay, I am not that old. That would be your great-grandpa. okay? But in 1977, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, the very next thing was, okay, you know, there's a Jesus, there's a God, he died for me, I get that, the blood of the Lamb, all the things, and I thank you, God, I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to go to hell. And so for the next couple of years, I went to church, and I didn't go to hell. See? And I was so excited about that. But I never realized, I never came to grips with the idea in those first 2 years that God loves me. He picks me. He died for me. He's not putting up with me. And it's like, all right, well, somebody's got to take Joe. Let's take him. We'll like we're in junior high soccer for PE. You know what I'm saying? It's like a middle school for those of you that are young. Okay? And so I came to understand that God loved me. Well, my very next question then is, God, why would you speak to me? Why don't you? I want to hear your voice like Abraham did, like Moses did, like David did. I want to hear the voice of God. And in another sermon I'll share with you, but he made me clear. Honestly, he made it crystal clear. I wanted something I did not realize I did not want. I did not want to hear the voice of God because it is terrifying. Okay? There's no doubt in my mind. I understand Egypt when Israelites, when they left Egypt and Moses went up on a mountain and they heard the voice of God and they put their hands on their heads and they cowered and they said, you go up and talk to him. We'll die if we hear his voice. And so I came to this place where it's like, Lord, how do I be in a relationship with you? Just like I am with my wife. When I hear her, I recognize her voice. If I'm in a room, and even at this age, if she says, Joe, And she's just trying to catch my attention. You know how it is when you're somewhere and you're like, we got to get out of here. And you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it. And so you're like, Janice. You know, you're trying not to get the host to go, hey, what's up? And then you got to say, yeah, we got to go. Our refrigerator needs defrosting tonight really bad. And I just think it's going to, you know, the food will go bad in it. You know, you're making up excuses. I can hear my wife say, Joe, across the room. My kids can hear me say, hey. And I'll catch their attention and they'll turn around. If I whistle, I just go real quick in a crowd inside the house. They'll be like, that's dad. You know, they know. Not because like they got a whooping for not paying attention, but simply because they know. They know the way I interact. They not just the words. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. When we are new to God, we are new to hearing his voice. And when I say new, I probably should have said, when we are immature, and please, I'm not throwing a rock at you. When we are not mature, when we are immature to God in our relationship, we are new to hearing his voice and understanding it as we move forward. When we hear the Lord and then we act on his voice, we tend to get more and more comfortable. We recognize a little faster and a little easier and definitely more confidently that God is asking me to do something. When God says, for instance, hey, give that guy the $10 in your pocket, and you start this conversation, you're like, I don't think that's you. I don't have time. I can't stop. And you're going back and forth. You need to ask yourself, who you're arguing with. See? The reason you're arguing is because somebody's talking in your head and you need to know, is it your voice or is it the voice of God? And it's not always easy. Now, I don't want to throw a little shade on Brady Hoskins here. I love this kid. His parents have done a great job of raising him. And listen to me, I hope he's not in the room at this time. But the fact of the matter is, I do in fact have a little dog and his name is Frank. And when I got Frank, this was little Frank. We call him little Frank, okay? That is little Frank over there 4 years ago. In my arms, and I'm holding him, and I brought him home, and I just leave that up for a minute, and I put little Frank on the ground, and I said, come, Frank, and Frank looked around and went chasing daisies and butterflies, and I worked and worked and worked and said, come, Frank. Frank didn't know my voice. Frank didn't know what my words meant. Frank didn't know the way I was communicating with him. Frank did not understand at all that I was his new papa. And that's the way it's going to be. Not just his owner. If you know, it's a demented relationship, but you understand. I just love him so much. Okay, now, this is Frank beginning of this past fall when we were sitting. At that point, he's 3.5 years old. Anyway, and so he's grown to that size right now. Now Frank is at the place where I can say, Frank, and he will turn around if I so much. Listen, I can't get him to come readily when he's out in the yard. And I say, Frank, get in here. And he's like, who's he talking to? But I'm telling you, if I put my hand in the treat bag, he could be 2 blocks over behind the pool's house. And he will come running because he hears it. And it's like, oh, my word. But he really is at the place right now where I can say, Frank. And he'll look and I'll say, come here. And I just have to go, come here. And I say it quietly. And he knows everything I want. When he comes over, I say, sit. And he sits. If he's across the room, I can do this. And he'll lay down. I have an ex-police officer friend that taught me how to do some of this stuff. And so it's just like, hey, we can do that. When he was little Frank, when he was new to me, he had no clue what I was trying to say to him. No understanding of the fact that I would protect him, I would love him, and I would take care of him if he would just listen to me. And now he's at an age where, yeah, he might want to look over there, but he's going to follow through and hang out with me, and he's going to come when he's called, and he's hoping we're going to get in the truck and we're going to go for a ride. Because he likes that. We took him to Chenault Vineyards the other day, and he just had an absolutely wonderful time. The point of the matter is, when we're new to hearing the voice of God, it's hard to understand what God's saying, and we don't know if it's God. But the more we press in, okay, because at some point we should grow to know the voice of God. In our relationship to God, our spirituality should be maturing so that we recognize that this is the voice of God speaking to me, trying to tell me to do something, and whether it's the $10 in your pocket or not, it's really not that. But you begin to recognize that it is God. The more time you spend with a friend, a new friend, the more you recognize their voice when they call. But we don't always recognize God's voice, even though we've been going to church for a long time, even though we got saved 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it's like Paul says, he says, by now you should be eating meat, but you need milk. We should lay aside the teachings about repentance from sin and baptism, and we should go on to walking in the Spirit, but you're still wrestling with don't sin. You're still wrestling with am I hearing the voice of God? You're still wrestling with obedience to what he's telling you. And I believe with all of my heart that obedience is the measure of success. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, Paul says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, and he's quoting scripture, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. What he's saying is, if you are hungry to hear the voice of God, don't harden your heart once you know it. Then you need to be obedient to it. And well, we'll get into this other part in just a second, okay? As I shared last week, who is it you're arguing with in your head? When you think God is asking something of you, let me just make this overtly simple. In your heart, when you think God is telling you, don't date that girl, maybe that's a good guy over there. If you hear God saying, take that job or don't take that job, and listen to me, money is not always the evidence of God doing something really amazing in your life. Sometimes God's inviting you to catch all the fish in the Sea of Galilee till your boats are sinking. Then when you walk up on shore, he says, now leave it. Leave all that gold in the form of fish right there on the beach and come follow me. And what would we say? Oh, that doesn't make any good sense. Let's go invest it first. So that in case Jesus lets us down, we've got a net to fall into. That's how we do. When you think God is asking you of something, ask yourself this, is it a good thing? Is it a good thing? Does it encourage, build, inspire, and help? If you're wrestling, if you're new to hearing the voice of God, and you're saying, I'm trying to understand if this thing that won't leave me alone is the voice of God, start by asking yourself, is it a good thing? And then go to, does it encourage, build, inspire, or help me or somebody else? And then if you're going to err, if you're going to make a mistake, if you're saying, well, I don't really know, don't sit on your butt, okay? Get up and do it, because you want to err on the side of doing too much good. When I meet Jesus, I'm going to have to give an account for every word that I have said to you through all the last 15 and a half years. I am. I'm going to have to give an account for all the words that I've ever spoken. I'm going to have to give an account for all of the theology that I've developed and wrestled with. And as often as I'm challenged again and again and again about women speaking up here and preaching, I will tell you over and over and over again that when Jesus stood up and read from the book of Isaiah and said that he came to set the oppressed free, and when he died on the cross and he said, Tetelestai, in the doing it is done, that sin is paid for, then I believe with all of my heart he released women as well. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, referring back to Joel chapter 2, when he said, I'll pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy, which includes preaching. The telling of what God did, the retelling of what God did, and the foretelling of what God says is coming is what that word prophesy means. My point is to say that when I have to give an account to Jesus for all of my theologies and my words and all of my wrestlings with is God speaking to me, I want to err on the side of being generous, on the side of empowering, on the side of setting free. I want Jesus to tell me, Joe, man, you just gave it all away, and I was trying to build up a dynasty for you. I was trying to give you the wealth of Egypt, but you just kept giving it away, and you wouldn't listen to me say, hold some back. I want Jesus to say, I love people too much. I don't want him to say, you didn't care enough. I don't want that. And so if you are wrestling with, is it the voice of God, err on the side of doing too much good. If I'm going to have to give an account, I'd rather God said I was too generous with my time, my money, and my resources. I would really rather that. So when we're new to God, we are new to hearing his voice. Second thing I want to share with you is there's many ways that God can speak to you. It's not just God going, hey, Joe, sit down, be quiet. I'm talking to you. Okay? There are, in my 32 years of ministry and 50 years almost of walking with Jesus, he has spoken to me in so many different ways. It's been absolutely a blessing. In the book of Judges chapter 6 is a story of a guy named Gideon. And the scripture says, Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised. Look, this is Gideon talking to the Lord. Gideon said to God, if you're going to save Israel by me, if you're asking me to save Israel, if you're saying for me to be the judge that draws my sword and fights on behalf of Israel, I come from the smallest tribe and I am the weakest person in that tribe. But if you are asking me to do it, look here, I'm going to place a fleece of wool, okay, a skin from a lamb. I'm going to place it on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And that is exactly what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece, wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. But then Gideon said, Lord God, don't be angry with me, but let's just make this one more request. Allow me one more test with this fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. And that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground was covered with dew. So what Gideon is doing here, he's not testing God. He's trying to get God to affirm what he believes God is saying to him, but he's scared to death to do it. And in coming to God, he's saying, if you could just help me believe with all of my heart and remove any doubt, and I wish God would do this for me sometimes too, and remove any doubt that that's what you're asking, then could you make this happen? And God went ahead and did that. As a young man in Bible college, I really thought that, he was pushing God's limits. And my Bible college professor said, no. Gideon didn't doubt. He wanted God to affirm. And that's the point. The point ends up being, if God makes it clear to you, are you going to do it? Or if when God makes it clear to you, are you going to say, yeah, I don't think we can do that? See? Because God is asking something of you. And I believe that God wants to speak to us. We call that putting a fleece before the Lord. And maybe in your life you've heard somebody say, well, I kind of put a fleece before the Lord to ask him. We don't want to put a fleece before the Lord because we don't think God is God. We put a fleece before the Lord because we want God to affirm that I'm hearing him correctly. It's very much like your therapist might say, okay, do I hear you saying? See, that's what mine always would say back to me. So, Joe, do I hear you saying? And I'd say, yes, that's exactly it. But the point is, am I going to operate on it? That's just one way. There are many ways that God can speak to you. So what are the ways that God does speak to us? What are the ways? What are the ways that I can hear the voice of God? Absolutely and straight up first is Scripture. It's absolute Scripture. God will speak to you through the Scripture. In the book of Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, the Scripture says, He says, meaning God, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I've kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Leave that there for a second. I want you to know that I've been here for 23 years. So 24 years ago, I was sitting in my office in Western Oklahoma doing my devotionals, and I opened up my Bible to the book of Isaiah because I was just staying in my lane, and this is what came up. And I was complaining. I'm not going to lie to you. I was complaining a little bit about, you know, was what I was doing fruitful. I loved Western Oklahoma. We had 6 acres of land and horses and dogs and all the things. We were living the life. And I read this, but here's the deal. See where it says, He says... The next words I read was, is it too small of a thing for you? And so that changes that whole passage, doesn't it? If you're crying and whining to God and you read this and it says, is it too small of a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob? Then what I heard Lord saying, what are you whining about, Joe? Man, I put you in a good place. The fields are green. Your horses are healthy. Your family's growing. They're thriving. Is it too small of a thing? And here. The Holy Spirit said, go back and read it again. Just like I'm talking to you right now. I'm sitting in my office all alone, and I'm telling you right now that I read that way, and I beg God's forgiveness for being a whiner. And the Lord said, go back and read it again. Okay? 24 years ago, I read it again, and it says, it is too small of a thing for you to be my servant, to stay here in the Mennonite church. I want you to go also and be a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach the ends of the world. That's one verse. In that one verse, I heard the Lord God Almighty say, as much as you want to be buried as a cowboy out here in Western Oklahoma, it's not going to happen. And the Lord said, I am going to send you away from here. I didn't know where just yet at that time. But I know he wasn't going to ask me to leave my wife and my kids in Oklahoma. And so I said, are you saying that we're leaving? And he said, you're done here. You've done your work. You've restored some of the tribes of Jacob. Now I want to send you to the ends of the earth. I want you to speak to other people. And I said, okay, Lord. Let it be to me as you have said, but I'm not telling my wife, you better do it. And my fleece was, and I'm not leaving until she's good with it. You don't want to be at odds with your spouse when God's telling you to do something. You don't. You want to be on board together. And 2 weeks later, my wife came back with a different scripture and a song in her heart and said, the weirdest thing just happened. The Lord said, we're leaving Oklahoma. And I said, okay, listen to me. God speaks through Scripture. You want to know what God's saying to you right now? Don't lucky dip. Don't just like open it up and go. And he straightway went out and hung himself. No, that is not a word for you. You see what can happen? and he fell on his sword and died. No, do not fall on your sword, okay? Instead, stay in your devotional path and say, Lord, what are you saying? And look at the scripture. God will not speak to you hardly any more powerful than through scripture and then make it real to you, okay? God will speak to you through visions and mental pictures. I had an incident while I was out there and I was struggling and I said, God, they're not listening. This is falling apart. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. And I was standing in my living room of my house, stomping my feet at God, waiting for my children to come home. And I was, you know, saying, God, I need to be more productive. God, how do we, it's not working. I tell them they don't. And I was doing all that. And I'm telling you, I saw what I believe was just a picture of what I will refer to as the wedding feast of the Lamb from Revelation 19. It was just this long table that was set right there in my living room. And some of you are like, this is getting real freaky in church. I'm just telling you, it was a vision, okay? And the Lord just said this to me. You can't make people eat. Yeah. I said, Lord, they won't do what your word says. And he says, you can't make them eat. What you can do is set the table. And he said, and that's what I want you to do for them. I want you to continue to set the table. Set the table. Tell them, this is how you make a marriage strong. This is what you ought to consider. This is what you should hear. And continue to do that. You have to decide when you're asking God to speak if you're going to be obedient. That's up to you. Okay? But I've seen that. Dreams, reoccurring dreams especially. God said he's going to pour out a spirit on his sons and daughters and they're going to prophesy and old men are going to dream dreams and young men are going to have visions or vice versa. I can't always remember which one it is. But dreams and visions are going to be a thing. I was sitting with my grandson yesterday and I love hearing about his relationship to Jesus. And he said, Grandpa, we were headed to the car show in Lexington. And he said, Grandpa, he said, I keep having this dream. I said, Josiah, write it down because I believe in dreams that much. When you go to bed at night, put a notebook next to your bed because if you wake up and that dream keeps coming, the dream keeps happening, write it down and listen to what is being said. And if you can't understand it, find somebody that can help you. Ask somebody to pray over the dream with you to give you a revelation of what that dream means. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, in the last day, God will pour out his spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Funny, I put this scripture right in here. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Don't underestimate your dreams. Don't underestimate a meat lover pizza, but don't underestimate your dreams, okay? Song lyrics. You ever been hit by a song lyric that just bowls you over? It could be the Eagles. It could be Jesus culture. But there are times in my life where my heart has slammed into a song lyric, and I've applied it to my relationship to Jesus. And I've said, Lord, is this what you're saying to me? And given the Lord opportunity. Circumstances. God will bring you into circumstances the way a cowboy will bring cattle into a corral. And then he opens up a chute that goes on to the truck and the calf, but the calf is like, yeah, we're not going up that chute. We're not going in that big semi. He doesn't know where he's going, but he's not going in there. And so the cowboys chase him around the corral until he escapes up there. And he thinks he got away. And the Lord has just narrowed and narrowed and narrowed the circumstances until he gets you to make decisions that do, in fact, bring you in close proximity to the Lord. Jonah was a perfect example of that. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't think so. Clearly, Jonah knew what God was asking of him because he went the other way. I don't think he had vacation plans in Tarsus. I honestly think he was running away because the Bible says he was running away. And God said, great, I'm going to cause you to be thrown into the ocean. He didn't tell him that, but he did it in circumstances, had all the stuff on the boat being thrown into the ocean to where it got to the place where Jonah goes, you guys, whoa, guys, why? Hey, just throw me into the ocean. Just get over with it. Throw me in the ocean. Circumstances God uses in your life. Sermons. How many times have I heard one of you say, I walked into church this morning and didn't know what to expect, but it's like you and I have had a conversation this week and you're just preaching about everything we talked about. There's no way you could know There's no way you could know what I'm going through to write that sermon. This sermon was written last week. It was finished up this week. It's because God is speaking to you. What will you do with it? An audible voice. Seriously? Yes, another sermon and I'll tell you kind of what happened. But anyway, an answered prayer. The fleas. Hey, God, I need you to talk to my wife. If you talk to my wife, I will leave Western Oklahoma. He clearly talked to my wife. Now what am I going to do? Take my wife, my five kids, and move 1,043 miles to Richmond, Kentucky. Didn't even hardly know where it was before I came out here the year before to check it out. Move 1,000 miles and not have a job waiting for me other than assistant pastor, $30 a week, and a cell phone. Yeah, I'll do that all day long when I know it's God that's asking. I will jump not knowing if there is a safety net because God said do it. And I know in my knower that it needs to be done. What about a friend? A friend who follows God is one of the greatest gifts you could ever have. Look at this. Proverbs says, better an open rebuke than a hidden love. Wounds, your friend when they're mean to you because they're trying to be honest with you, when you feel cut and they don't understand and they're not listening and you're not taking my side, wounds from a friend. Wounds, the cuts, 1,000 cuts from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Somebody who wants to be your friend pats you on the back and says, they're there, you're right, everything, they're terrible, everybody's me, they're awful to you, you. A friend will say, hey, quit. You know what you're doing is wrong. And you'll say, you're not taking my side. I thought we were friends. A real friend will look you in the eye and say, this is wrong. You need to kind of deal with this a little bit. A real friend will do that. Last thing I want to share with you on our way out the door is this. Each time we are obedient, it gets easier to distinguish God's voice. Really. It gets so much easier to distinguish God's voice. Our view of success is not always the measure of legitimacy because wealth is most often not the measure of success. It is most often not the measure of success. And that little referendum to the disciples catching all those fish and probably the biggest haul they've ever brought in, and they were going to be multimillionaires. It was going to be great. And then Jesus says, now leave that and come follow me. And this is what the Bible says immediately. Not after a discussion, not after a board meeting, not after they talked to their dad, not after they talked to their mom. Immediately they pulled the boats up on shore and left and followed him. Immediately. See? They saw the value. Noah is an example of hearing God and being obedient to him. God gave him the blueprints. Noah provided the labor. God made it float. The point being that obedience and outcome are not always related because Noah was responsible for the labor, but Noah was not responsible for whether or not this architectural design would float. See? He built what God said in God's direction that he believed was from God, and somebody could have walked up and said, that will never float. But the fact of the matter is, he built it exactly like God said, and when he did, it floated. And we are thousands of years past that, and we've got yet another group of archaeologists that are looking at what they believe is Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, and they've been given a little more permission to enter into it. It's the hull, the bottom of the hull, but there is no doubt that it is the right length and the right width. We just don't know if it's the right height, but it's in the right place, scripturally speaking. Each time we are obedient, it gets easier to distinguish God's voice. God says that our ways are not his ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts. So you and I must work to understand God so that when we wrestle, we can hear the truth of him calling and giving us a commission. Just like he did with people in the Bible. Can you hear him say, leave your fish in your nets and come follow me. Sell everything you've got, give to the poor, and come follow me. Leave your home and your family, and I will make you into a great nation. Come follow me. Leave your family and come do what I'm asking of you. Follow me. So what about you? Do you want to hear the voice of God? Are you at a place in your life where hearing what God is saying to you is more important than friends? More, not like your friends, but the TV show. More important than the next Marvel movie. More important than the concert that you were headed to. More important than making sure you get to this place or that place. More important than your 401k. More important than your plans for the rest of your life. Is hearing the voice of God so important to you that obedience is the only thing you can do, or it won't let you go? The dream will keep occurring. The thought will keep penetrating into circumstances. Just ask yourself, does this sound like something that God would ask of somebody scripturally? When you say, no, it's stupid to empty my 401k. Okay. Does it sound like something that God would ask of somebody? Sure it does. Sell everything you've got, give to the poor, and then come follow me. It's Zacchaeus saying, I'm going to give back 4 times, and then I'm going to take half of what I still own after that, and I'm going to give it away for free. And then he's going to come follow. Is it encouraging to you and the people around you? Does it draw you and I, when God speaks, into peace? When your life is running so hard, you can't find rest and you can't have peace, God's not messing up. I love you, but you are. Back off. You don't have to have all the money. Listen to me. All it takes in all reality in your life is a heart attack. And your whole bank could be emptied. Your whole investment scheme could be poured out. It's possible. So hold it loosely. And listen to the Lord and don't make it the focus of your life. Does it bring God glory, the thing that's being asked of you? Does it build the kingdom? And does Scripture affirm it? Over and over and over again, does Scripture affirm it? Because at the end of the day, I don't believe that in our relationship to Jesus, that the thing that we think God is asking of us will be something that Jesus or the Holy Spirit said in the New Testament, and we just can't bring ourselves to do it. If God is asking us to do it, it's going to be affirmed by Scripture. And I would encourage you in that. God wants to talk to you today. Let's come to our feet. If you're in a place where you feel like the Lord is speaking to you and you're wrestling with it, you want to understand it, or you know and you want to be obedient to it, could we pray for you this morning? You're saying, yes, I know God is speaking to me, or I think God is speaking to me. Could you come up here? Can we just pray for you? Could we do that? All we're going to do is ask and pray that God give you absolute clarity, that there's no doubt in your mind about the thing that he's asking of you. And maybe you're in here and you're like, I think God, you know, wants me to surrender my life to him. And I've been going to church for a while, but I don't know what that means. Come right on over here, Boone. There you go. And a little child shall lead them. You're in here and you're like, God, I just need clarity on this. I need to put my fleece. Or you're in here and you're like, no, I want God to talk to me about this because I want to know. Listen to me, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be... Listen, I still cry to God as I sit in my office. God, could you speak out loud by any wild chance today? Because I feel especially dumb. And I need you. I need you, God. If you're on the prayer team, Could I get you to come forward this morning? Could you make your way up here? There you go. You know what we're doing. We've been doing it this way for a while. I want you to pray for these people. Pick somebody and start praying. And if other people are still praying for somebody when you're done, just move over to that person. I don't want you to pray for one and go. I want these people prayed. I want the fire of heaven to fall in their lives. I want the Holy Spirit to overwhelm them. I want to feel like they're drowning in the presence of God in their life. Everybody take a little bit of a step forward. There you go. Okay? And I'm going to pray, and you guys, you're going to get started. When I'm done, you're going to keep praying, okay? Father, as we come before you right now, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Jesus said that we don't have you at times because we don't invite you to come. And so in this moment, God, we just invite you. We release you into the lives of these people right here, right now. God, these are children. These are your children that you created that just want to hear a voice, that just want to hear an action, that just want to be clear, that just want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry because their desire is to be obedient. And Holy Spirit, Jesus said that you were going to come because you are God, the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. And our Jesus promised us that you would come and you would tell us things that we don't know. And so right now in this place, God, we fall on these people right now, Lord. Be heavy upon them with your presence and an awareness of who you are. Be thick in their lives. God, give them dreams and visions right now in this place, in this building, God. Stir them up because the scripture says you will. Because in Acts chapter 2, in the New Testament, God, in your word, for your children, for the building up of your church, not for me, God, be upon them. Be upon them in this place, oh God. Breathe on them, oh Holy Spirit. Fill them up. Even more, Lord. Even more. Even more, God. Continue to move there. A clear picture, God. An absolute vision where there's no doubt in the name of Jesus. Let it be. We release this by authority that's ours as believers, Lord, upon your children in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So be it.